Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hi, you're welcome to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, and we have with us today two of our expert veterinarians, Dr. Carol Osborne.
Hello.
And Dr. Don Canfer.
Hello.
You know, it is that time of year where we're getting a lot more sunlight, and I had a question from someone on our forum about her pup. This is the first time she has owned an all-white dog. Okay, he's got a couple little black spots on his head. But she is worried about him getting sunburnt in the sun. He's a boxer mix. So his fur is pretty thin, and she's wondering if sunscreen is okay for dogs and what she can do if it's safe for him or if he'll lick it off or what she should do.
There are various sunscreen products that are out there, certainly in today's world. Finding a sunscreen product that seems to be appropriate for your dog is a great idea. Always double check with your veterinarian just to be sure. Certainly don't keep your white pet outside during the peak heat hours of the day. And also remember, you can get little clothes, little jackets, second skins, lycra suits that are very light and porous that you can simply put over your pet's body, which is an additional way to help protect him or her from excessive sun and from developing tumors, squamous cell carcinomas, and other things directly related to too much sun exposure.
And I know... go ahead, Dr. Canfer.
No, go ahead.
Well, I know that he is a very wiggly puppy, so getting any sort of clothing on him might be a challenge. But I know that, you know, as someone, a pale-skinned white person myself, staying out of the sun between 10 and 2 every day is important. But, of course, when it's summertime and even late spring, you want to be outdoors with your pets. And so... I know he has a pink nose, and is that going to be more apt to get sunburnt just like mine?
Well, it sure is, and they can just use a little of the zinc oxide. They can put a little bit of that on his nose, and that will help to protect it from too much sun.
Now, is that going to be toxic if he licks it off?
I don't think so.
Okay, that was her worry. Now, Dr. Canfer, you
have
something.
Yeah, I would be cautious with the zinc oxide. You know, it's what most of the lifeguards use. You see it on the beaches. It's that white cream that they put on the nose. And believe it or not, it is probably the most effective sunblock we have. But yet you can ingest toxic levels of it, depending on how much they use and how much the dog licks it itself. But the areas of the body where there's least amount of hair, the ear tips, the nose, those are generally the areas around the eyes. Those are usually the areas that we see the cancerous or precancerous skin changes in, you know, the soonest. So those are the areas you want to protect. One thing that I've used in some of my patients over the years, and the owners may want to consider it if this is a dog that's going to spend a lot of time in the sun and they can't avoid it, would be to tattoo those areas. Particularly if there's no pigment, you know, brown or black nose probably has enough natural melatonin in it that it's that it will be protected. But if you've got a pink skin animal, tattooing them, it has to be done under anesthesia, but the tattoo ink will turn it into a black nose dog, and it will provide a permanent sunblock.
You know, Dr. Dunn, that is an excellent idea. Something else I'm going to throw in is, should anyone have a pet actually suffering from heat stroke, you know, in addition to bringing the pet inside and putting him in a nice cool bath, a homeopathic remedy you might keep in mind is Glenoin, G-L-O-N-O-I-N-E, the dose is 30 c. 2 pellets on the tongue while you're on the way to the vet with your heat stroke dog may help to bring a bit of relief.
And that's another, Dr. Dawn, you are in Florida, so I know you get a lot more sun than we do up here in Boston. And is that something that you have to worry about? He is a dog, but with cats and other animals?
Yes, and cats, particularly cats, because they like to sun themselves, and it's always the white, you know, white-eared or white-skinned cats, and they always get it. You want to try to keep your cats out of the bright sun for days and weeks at a time. We do a lot of ear cropping on cats because the ear tips eventually get cancerous or precancerous, what we call actinic changes in them. Some of the early changes, you can use Retin-A ointment. That's a prescription product that you do need to get from your veterinarian. But that sometimes will help with early lesions. But we have a lot of cats down here, particularly the white ones, that we end up having to do ear crops on. We have to cut the tips off of the ears to eliminate the cancerous lesions. And not only that, horses too. I've had to do it on horses. I've had to do it on dogs and cats.
You know, Don, that's a great point. And going back to that zinc oxide as well as the benzocaine, although it might be an issue in certain dogs, I've never personally experienced that. But cats are an exception. Zinc oxide as well as benzocaine are both potentially toxic to cats. The zinc destroys red blood cells, which can actually result in a fatal anemia in kitties. So stay away from that in cats. Don't let your cat lie in the living room, you know, in front of that window with the sun all day, because that can result in excess sun as well. A couple of complementary therapies, witch hazel, it cools and soothes sunburned skin. You can simply apply the lotion with a little cotton ball about four times a day. And remember that aloe vera gel is soothing and moisturizing to sunburned areas of skin, very safe for kitties and puppies. And you can apply it to the affected area as needed 3 to 4 times a day.
And, you know, Dr. Dawn, you mentioned horses. Now, of course, most horses are out in the pasture all day. How do you keep a horse's ears from getting, you know, too much sun, or a horse's nose? I know that white horses can tend to get, if they're blue-eyed, they can tend to get cancers in their eye because of sun. Is that true?
That's true, and cows as well. We see it in the white-faced cattle. They get, we call it cancer eye, in fact. And we remove a lot of eyes here in Florida because of that. Caught early, it's treatable. Once the cancer invades the eyeball itself, generally removing the eye is the only solution. And believe it or not, you cows that get cancer, you can't, they're not supposed to use their meat for human consumption. The bodies, the carcasses get condemned at the slaughterhouse. So that's it is a concern down here. Shade is is provided for animals, as the old saying goes, you can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. You know, we can provide the animal with shade, but sometimes they just don't avail themselves of it.
Right, and with respect to horses' ears, at least in performance horses, we use these neat little, it's wool that we weave into a little cap, and the cap goes on the top of the head and over their ears, and it rests down above the eyes. And they work wonderfully to repel fleas and avoid excess sun and things like that.
Right. Yeah, here in Florida, most people who have horses that are out in the, you know, sun all the time, they use fly masks on them, and most all the feed stores sell them. That has the added bonus of keeping the biting bugs away from their faces as well.
Okay, folks, we are out of time here for this segment. We will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vet.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets. Now, I have a question this week from Moesha in Tennessee, and she has several cats, and one of whom is a diabetic. That is Morgan, and he was diagnosed with diabetes about 6 or 7 years ago, and he was on Vetsulin, and then it was pulled from the market. She has just learned that Vetsulin insulin is back on the market and is half the price of the Prozinc that he's on now. The vet she goes to said his dosage would have to be readjusted for the switch. What is the difference in these insulins? And she's wondering if you have a preference between the Vetsulin and the Prozinc.
Well, I can tell you that based on history, we just finished a multi-million-dollar class action lawsuit for Vetsulin, for all the animals that died, went into kidney failure, suffered permanent blindness, and many other horrible, horrible problems because of the instability of the Vetsulin and because of the fact that they refused to issue a recall and remove it from the market. Since that, which was approximately 3 years ago, they have managed to put Vetsulin back on the market again. Vetsulin is porcine or pork derived insulin. Today, in the year 2013, we have DNA insulin. DNA insulin is not derived from any type of animal. It is what we use in humans. It is the current industry standard. It is available at Walmart. It is available at Walgreens, just about any pharmacy. You can ask them for Humulin and insulin. Or you could ask them what their generic is. It goes back and forth all the time. That has to do with corporate agreements with various pharmacies. Your cost should be $24 a bottle for a 10cc vial. And the fact that they are now telling people that regardless of what you pay for the bottle, after 28 days, throw it out. In my opinion, as a veterinarian, and in my experience, which is extensive in this field, your insulin, as long as you don't drop it or shake it, is viable and good until the bottle is empty. It does not need to be discarded at 28 days, and I would not recommend any pet owner ever to buy Vetsulin. It is absolutely outdated product that has killed and caused significant disorders and permanent damage to hundreds and hundreds of dogs as well as some cats.
Wow. All right. Well, you know, the advice I give to my clients, I do not typically see a lot of diabetic animals in my client. My practice is more of a mixed practice, and we tend to see a lot more of a mixture of, you know, bigger animals, farm animals and things. So proportionally, I don't get that many diabetics, but the ones that we do get, I tell clients the key to keeping a diabetic animal regulated and happy is consistency. They need to eat more or less the same diet day after day, same quantity, same food, same level of activity day after day, so that their insulin requirements remain more or less the same. And then it doesn't matter what type or brand of insulin you put them on, as long as you use the same thing consistently and you don't change the animal's need for insulin by either increased physical activity or change in diet. So putting them on a diabetic-specific diet, like the prescription diets, the DM or the WD, there's several of them on the market that you can get from your veterinarian that are specific for animals with diabetes. And if you can get them to eat it and eat it consistently, that cuts greatly the need for insulin that the animal has. And the human insulin's work is just a question of trial and error until you get the dosage right for that animal. And then, you know, maybe twice a year, have it monitored just to make sure that the change, the animal is not changing its need. The dosage doesn't have to be, you know, brought up or brought down. But this lady's veterinarian is correct. If you make any change at all, you've got to start all over again calculating the dose. And it's trial and error for every individual animal until you get the dosage just right for that animal and its lifestyle.
Now, you mentioned something, the diabetic food that they market. What is different about that food? Is it lower in carbohydrates? Is it higher in protein? What makes it a good diabetic food?
Typically, you'll derive more of the calories from protein and fats as opposed to from carbohydrates. They will probably go to more soluble fibers instead of your starches and sugars, which will wreak havoc with your insulin regulation. So it's more not like a natural diet for the animal. It's meant to mimic more of what the animal would eat in the wild. A lot of this epidemic of diabetes that we see in our pets is because we feed them inappropriately. You know, cats are obligate carnivores. Dogs are scavenger animals. If you have a pet ferret, ferrets are obligate carnivores. And in the wild, they eat mostly meat. You know, they catch little critters and tear them up and chew them up and eat them. They're not meant to be eating soy millings and rice millings and corn.
Yeah, you know, I know that I've seen, you know, on National Geographic and other places, footage of wild dogs that will eat just about anything. But cats are definitely, you know, they're hunters. And I cannot imagine why anyone thought it would be a good idea to add corn and wheat into cat food, other than, you know, they were trying to stretch it. And it just seems like a bad idea.
You know, well, it's something. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Don.
No, I was just going to say, if you want to make dry food, which is what we all want for convenience, you have to have something to, you know, some sort of matrix to make it around. You can't just dry out pure beef. It comes out like beef jerky.
Go ahead, Dr. Carol.
For those kitty owners out there that are suffering with a diabetic cat, remember that weight loss in over 50% of these diabetic cats, if they lose the weight, they will no longer be a diabetic. So keep that in mind, because it's true, it's a fact, and if you can get your kitty off insulin, it'll be great for your cat and it'll be a lot easier for you.
Now, we've only got a couple minutes left, but are there two types of diabetes in cats? Are there cats who are diabetic, you know, from early kittenhood, and cat, as opposed to cats who become diabetic later in life, or are they all just, it's the diabetic because of overweight and other problems in cats?
In my experience in dogs as well as cats, it's a secondary diabetic situation related to being overweight and having an improper diet for the most part. Unlike humans who can be born with, you know, a primary diabetic situation, I've not personally encountered that in pets myself. What about you, Dr. Don?
Yeah, I said I would echo that. I have not seen juvenile onset diabetes. It can happen. There are some rare, you know, bloodlines and familial bloodlines, I guess, where it could occur in certain, you know, certain breeds, certain bloodlines, but it would very, very rarely.
Okay, I was just curious about that, knowing that, you know, diabetes runs in some families and other people. A friend of mine's husband, who is African-American, and he was overweight, and so was everyone else in his family, became diabetic, and when he lost the weight, as long as he's careful about it and gets his exercise, he doesn't need his insulin at all. And so that's the way it is with animals for the most part.
I would believe so, because we tend to see diabetes in animals that are overweight and overfed.
Well, we are out of time again. You know, we start going on a topic, and time goes faster than any of us reckon. We will be right back with more of All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets. And if anybody wants to ask any questions of us, we have a website at allpawspetalk.com, and there's a form right there on the homepage. Folks, we'll be right back with more.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets. Now, the next question I have is from someone who, they had a mystery in their house. She and her husband had heard a noise, and they finally found the source of the noise that they'd been hearing for a week, and it is a 3 to 4 week old kitten. She is adorable, black with white paws, and she has never cared for a kitten this young before. She took her to the vet and they gave her a dewormer, a quarter of a pill that made all her fleas fall off. And she's doing pretty good with drinking KMR, but she drinks it better from a bowl, which is the lid of an Altoids can, because she's so little. Is it okay for her to continue to feed from the lid, or does she need to be able to take it from a bottle? That's her first question.
Well, if she's successfully drinking it from the lid, then I would say she's all set.
There you go. And I would say the same thing. It doesn't
nothing
matter
like
how,
a little common sense.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how the cat gets the milk as long as it gets it.
Exactly.
And she's also heard, we're dealing with someone who's, you know, brand new at all of this. She said, I've also heard that you should wrap the kitten up while she's being fed. Do I need to do this if she's already eating from the lid? I would not think so. I've never heard that.
Since she's eating just fine the way she is, I would say once again, a little common sense. Obviously, she's doing fine the way she is.
She's also, this is full of questions, and rather than, you know, answer them all at once, I know that everybody who's ever taken in a kitten has some of these questions. What age should she start transitioning her to wet food, solid food, or even crunchy food that's watered down rather than the KMR, you know, the kitten milk?
Well, usually we do that when they start to get teeth. So somewhere around 6 to 8 weeks of age usually works for most kitties.
Yeah, and if the cat's precocious enough that it's already lapping up, you know, she can begin mixing in little bits of, you know, take canned cat food, mush it up with a fork and some warm water, and little by little let the cat start nibbling away at whatever it will.
And the only other question she had, which is very concerning to her, is Batsy, which is what the kitten's name is. Batsy has not pooped yet. What do I need to do to help her do this? I've tried stimulating her. I'm reading her letter, by taking toilet paper and rubbing her butt. But do I need to do this with something else? She's a little fussy at me when I use toilet paper on her.
Well, I always tell people to use moistened kitchen towels because they're actually coarser. You want something that mimics the texture of the mother's tongue. And those of us who have cats, we all know cats' tongues have all those little spines on them, and they are rough. And you want to mimic as much as possible the texture of the mother's tongue. However, if the cat is continuing to eat and eat voraciously, it is probably pooping, because if it's not pooping, it will become constipated. And if it's constipated, at some point it will stop eating. So it may not be that the kitten hasn't pooped. It may just be that our listener has not found where the poop is.
And if kitten was hiding in a wall for a while, she could be a little shy about, you know, somebody knowing where she's done her business.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Carol, any thoughts?
Well, again, the cat's not eating solid food, so she doesn't have solid stool. And my guess is little bits of fecal passage are happening, and maybe they're getting buried in the newspaper or the towels or whatever it might be. But certainly if the cat was not able to defecate, her belly would be getting bigger, 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 and bigger by the minute, in which case she would need to address that with her veterinarian.
Well, you know, I want to thank you all, because you both, because I know that this is the time of year where, sadly, there are lots of people out there who have not spayed and neutered. And so people end up finding kittens. Most of them don't find them in the wall of their house, but you know, it's questions that anybody who all of a sudden ends up with this little squirming something that they want, that they fall in love with. You know, the kitten looks at you with those big eyes and that's it. So everybody wants to be able to raise a healthy kitten, even if they weren't expecting to get a kitten in the first place. Now, the next question is a dog question, and it's from Daisy in the Midwest. She wanted to know why her dog, when it starts barking, ends up coughing and choking. She doesn't seem sick. She has no other symptoms, but when she barks, all of a sudden she'll end up coughing and choking. She does plan on taking her to the vet, but she's just curious, as she's never run into this phenomenon.
Well, in little dogs especially, something that we call tracheal collapse is very common when we get excited or when we bark. And that occurs because three sides of the trachea have a cartilaginous wall, and one side is primarily tissue. And so sometimes it just kind of collapses upon itself. And what we do in those cases is we recommend using a harness instead of a collar, so we're not pulling directly on the throat. And for dogs that have a little more severe of a problem, there are a variety of bronchodilators, theophylline, aminophylline, for example, that can be given by your veterinarian to help keep the air passageways open, you know, from the mouth and the nose to the lungs.
Yeah, and I believe, you know, a trip to the vet is in order. You want to visualize the vocal cords, make sure we don't have any growths back there, any, you know, paralysis or partial paralysis. Not a very common problem in dogs. It's more of a problem in larger animals like horses. They get what we call roaring, where sometimes they will get partial paralysis of one side or the other of the vocal cords. There's a variety of things that could, and a trip to the vet and a good look down the back of the throat is certainly in order here.
And now, one thing that I thought of, is it possible that the dog has inhaled something? You know, some dogs end up sniffing around a lot. And I know I had a friend's dog once inhaled one of those little devil's pitchforks and got it in her throat, so that, you know, she would seem fine, but then she would cough and choke suddenly. And could it be something like that? I know that's a trip to the vet issue as well.
It could be, but the coughing wouldn't be just when the dog barks and gets excited. It would be ongoing.
Well, okay. Well, Woody was the kind of dog that barked and got excited all the time anyway, so it was hard to tell what the cause was in that case. You know, it's these little things that happen to our animals, and it's so scary. And is there anything that you would tell people to keep in mind that definitely means trip to the vet? Or is that always, you're both veterinarians, and I know you're not saying this because, you know, you want to make money. These are our radio listeners, so most of them aren't going to drive to Florida to see you, Dr. Don, if they're in Seattle or in Colorado or in Phoenix. What are the things that make you say, you know, definitely call the vet?
You know, whenever your pet experiences a health issue that raises a question in your mind, the simplest thing to do is to just pick up the phone and call your veterinarian. And that way you can decide whether it is an emergency situation with which, you know, needs to be addressed immediately, or whether you can let it go a few days, see if anything changes, and then call your vet if it doesn't.
Yeah, a common complaint, you know, we hear a lot of times from our clients is, you know, sometimes they've called, you know, another veterinary clinic, XYZ clinic up or down the road, and they say, well, you know, they won't tell me anything over the phone. They insist I come in. And a lot of people, you know, are hesitant to do that for financial reasons or the inconvenience, or they just don't believe it's a serious enough problem. And when I had my office, we used to keep a little list by the phone for our receptionist, and I'm sure most practices do the same, with a list of the 10 or 12 most serious things that if somebody called with one of these situations, they were instructed to come in immediately as opposed to just make an appointment for, you know, the next day.
You know, we are, as we always do, we're running out of time for this segment. Folks, we will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. Now, it is that time of year, and I'm going to ask my vets to talk about something that we deal with every year. And I'm sure, actually, Dr. Dawn, you're in Florida, so it probably happens sooner to you than it does to those of us. Dr. Carol, who's in Ohio, and I'm outside of Boston, is when never leave your dog, cat, rabbit, bird in a hot car.
And that is absolutely true. And even at your latitudes, this time of year, it doesn't take very long in the sun for temperature inside a vehicle to just skyrocket. And even if you leave the windows cracked, that doesn't help. It'll get it to 140, 160 degrees inside of a vehicle with windows, even with cracked windows, literally within 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. It's a very, very dangerous thing. There are people who leave the engines running with the air conditioning going. Yeah, that's risky. People have had their cars stolen that way. Things can happen. If you have to, you know, it's better than nothing, but you should not take your pets with you in your vehicle if you're planning on making any stops.
And that's a fact, and I see that myself all the time. I have even taken the liberty of bringing it to a few people's attention, for which I was not nicely rewarded. So that is something that really does need to be emphasized to pet owners. I really just don't think that they understand how hot it gets and how difficult it is for a pet that's already wearing a mink coat and that is not able to sweat and perspire as we are, that the heat situation is very true, very realistic, and people really need to be aware of that.
Yes. Yeah, we have laws down here against that. But, of course, we have laws against lots of things like, you know, running a red light. That doesn't necessarily mean people respect them. But, yes, it is against the law. You can try to educate people, but there's always someone they don't quite think, well, it's only going to be for a moment, just for a second, and then they're hung up at the cash register in the store or something happens. only takes that 2 or 3 minutes to put an animal into heat stroke, particularly maybe an older animal that has heart issues or other health issues to be. As Carol, you just said, they can't perspire. They have to pant. And under the best of circumstances, that's a pretty inefficient system for an animal to cool itself. You know, they blow the air over the tongue.
I'm going to break in because I've heard people say that, well, my rabbit will be okay because she's in her carrier, so she's in the shade. It's nice and shady in there. And I try to explain that, yeah, when you put a baking dish in the oven, the stuff is in the dish, and it gets just as hot as the outside of the dish, even if it's covered. So that doesn't make a difference. And, you know, one of the nicest things I saw was actually a sign on a church lawn that said, if you see a dog in a hot car, God says it's okay to break the window. So don't worry about the owners.
That is great. Yeah, well, we have Good Samaritan laws here in Florida, as I assume most states do, and I would imagine if you did something like that, you would not be prosecuted.
That's right. You know, and speaking of hot areas, I wanted to just give props to the state of Nevada. Governor Sandoval just yesterday has signed a bill banning all breed-specific legislation in the state of Nevada. So that, you know, and Nevada is a sunny place. I'm sure that they have laws about leaving dogs in the car, too. But now, you know, you can't be told, well, you can't have a pit bull if you're going to live in our apartment because we have rules against that. So I think that is a very good thing. Now, does Florida have any rules like that, or does Ohio?
Not that I'm aware of. They tend to be frowned upon here as well. People get up in arms about it. And despite the fact that we've had several very recent clamorous cases of people being severely injured by pit bull attacks here. Just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've had 3 different episodes in the papers here in Central Florida, people severely injured. So it's in the news and on people's minds all the time.
And how about in Florida, in Ohio? I'm sorry, Dr. Carroll.
No, just like in Florida, we do not have laws like that in place. Although, who's to say what the future may hold?
That's right. Now, I had a question for you. We've got a few minutes left in this segment. Helen in Kansas has a completely off-the-wall subject. My cat has suddenly decided stealing one of my socks and dropping it in her water bowl is a fun thing to do. Why? Any ideas?
Yeah, because she's bored and she's looking for fun, so she should get some toys and make up some creative interactive games to play with her cat because her cat wants to play.
So that's a play thing, not a comment on Helen's laundry skills?
Not at all. Not at all. Socks are very stinky and smelly, as is underwear. They smell, they reflect the odor of the person that we love the most. So when we go for something because we want mom or dad's attention, we can't find them. So we get as close as we can, which would be socks and underwear.
But why would it drop it in the water bowl?
Maybe it tastes good.
Cat carries around these stupid little stuffed mice, you know, and meow, 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 like she's just caught it and hunted it. They do carry things around, some stuffed animals. She's got a little stuffed doll. It looks like a cat that she carries around in her mouth and makes noise, but I've never dropped it in the water bowl.
Maybe she's channeling her inner raccoon and washing it before she eats it. You know, part of the joy of pet ownership is when they do things like this and trying to figure out what the heck they're thinking. Now, Dr. Carroll, did you have any topic you wanted to bring up this week? We've got 2 minutes left.
Well, with respect to aggressive dogs and laws about certain breeds and things like that, I just thought I would mention that dog bite claims for last year paid out $489 million, up by more than 50% from 2003. So be careful, and it's always best to avoid and prevent a bite from occurring in the first place.
You know, and I always think people should train their children, because everything I see, you know, so often most of the bites happen with people under a certain age.
Young children that have pets which are not being properly, the parents are not properly supervising the pets or the children. And again, pets are the parents' responsibility, not the child's.
That's right. But I remember my mother teaching me that you know, you don't go up to and hug a strange dog. And that was a lesson I learned so I have a scar on my lip to prove it. But that's a lesson, you know, that most children should be taught. And if the parents don't know it, then they don't teach it to the children, and these things happen. Folks, we will be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets here. And if you have any questions for us, you can call in. And the 800 number is 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vets. Now, we have with us, of course, Dr. Carol Osborne and Dr. Don Canfer, and we're in different parts of the country. So, you know, things that are common in Ohio may not be in Florida and may not be here in Boston. Now, are there things this time of year in Florida, besides heat and besides the reoccurrence of, you know, people having to remember that their pets need more water and to lay off exercise in the heat of the day, are there other things that you worry about this time of year down in Florida?
Oh, absolutely. We are getting into our spring weather pattern, which is a lot of humidity, afternoon rainstorms, and as most of us know, parasites, just like all living creatures, love warmth and humidity because they're insects. And so we are having a resurgence of ticks and fleas. Reptiles like snakes are becoming more active.
So we're getting a whole host of parasite problems. Mosquitoes are starting to get worse. Down here in Florida, we don't have really seasons for these things. You know, the parasite problem is more or less 365 days a year, but it does wax and wane with the temperature and humidity conditions. And right now, we're sort of in our optimal temperature and humidity range for most of these parasites to just explode in numbers. And, you know, it's great for the cash register and the clinic, you know, when we're selling lots of flea and heartworm preventatives.
And how about in Ohio this time of year, Dr. Carroll? I imagine your conditions are pretty similar to me outside of Boston.
They are indeed. It's the time for mosquitoes and fleas and ticks. And remember that last year, and particularly this year, ticks are a true, real issue. And they do not just transmit one disease. Ticks transmit six different diseases: Lyme's disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anaplasmosis, ehrlichiosis, and a couple others. So when it comes to like a Lyme's vaccine, yes, that's very valid for your dog. There's also a Lyme's vaccine for humans. These diseases are transmissible between people and pets, so you're both susceptible. So there's all kinds of products available, but remember, just use a little bit of common sense. If you've got an older pet, a pet that's suffering from a particular health issue, and you're worried about some of these toxic chemical products that are available on the market, run your hands over your dog once or twice a day. If you see a tick, promptly remove it. Remember, it takes a tick must be on the animal for approximately 6 hours before it's capable of transmitting a disease. So again, just simple common sense. Run your hands over your dog, you know, daily. Be observant of what's normal so that you know what's abnormal. And again, where there's a question or a concern, check with your veterinarian, because that's always the best source of information for your particular pet.
You know, I think that's something a lot of people don't know, that the tick has to be on for a number of hours before it can transmit anything. So that if you make a routine of running your hands over your pet when it comes in from the outside, sorry, frog in my throat. That's another springtime thing in New England. We get frogs. You probably have those year-round in Florida, don't you, Dr.
Yes, Dawn? We do. Toads and frogs.
And running your hands along your pet. Now, that's going to be easier on, like, my little doggy niece, who I got to meet for the first time this past weekend, Angel. She is a boxer bulldog mix. So her coat, you know, if you put a grain of sand on her, it would make a bump because her coat is so smooth. But with a bigger dog, like a collie, something with a lot of fur, you know, maybe establishing a routine of when you come in, you know, I run a brush through your leg feathers and check your ears, and just making it part of the routine. I know that all dogs thrive on routine.
Absolutely. And Karen, the most important time to run your hands over your pet is when your pet comes inside from being outside. And again, remember that ticks hide just under the hair coat. So although brushing the pet is always a good idea, again, using your hands so that you can feel a little tiny bump is the way that you want to do that, so that you can detect them and promptly remove them.
And Dr. Carroll, you brought up an excellent point, too, with the ticks. And it just, you know, as veterinarians, we all see this all the time. People using dog tick products on cats, and nobody takes the time to read the instructions. I tell all my clients, when all else fails, what do we do in life? Read the directions. And, you know, maybe they need to put the warning labels and the little picture of the cat with the red stripe through it, you know, a little more prominent on the front of the packages on some of these products. But everybody, you know, especially during tick season, you know, at least once or twice a week, we'll get the cat come in convulsions because somebody put, you know, Advantix or something similar on it with permethrins in it. So do watch your products. Just because it says safe for dogs doesn't mean it's safe for cats.
And that is absolutely the truth. You know, remember that should you come down with one of these tick-borne illnesses, be it yourself and or your pet, doxycycline, very inexpensive, antibiotic, basically a 21-day course for a human or a pet, does work effectively to clear most of these tick-borne disorders in humans as well as pets. Just to give you an example, in 2011, 4.3 million people were diagnosed with Lyme's disease. And again, that's just one of six diseases transmitted by ticks.
So, you know, we are running out of time for this week. I want to thank you both so much. So, you know, run your hands over your dog or your cat. If your cat goes outside on a leash or not on a leash, you know, run your hands over their coat, check for ticks. And, you know, check yourself as well. None of us want to get these diseases if we can help it. Folks, you've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets, and we'll be back next week with more of your questions and our veterinarians' answers.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm your hostess, host Deb Wolf. And with me today is Dwayne Granboys. How you doing today, Dwayne?
I'm doing really, really okay. So you're a hostess today. I've always regarded you as our host.
Okay, I'm a host. But, you know, it kind of feels a little masculine. I don't know. It makes me think I should shave and put on a tie to be a host. I'm not sure what's correct nowadays.
All right. Well, you better shave this morning.
Okay. Well, today we have a guest. We do. And I don't know, Dwayne, did you take your vitamins today?
I always do. Every day religiously.
Do you?
But my dog, not so much.
Oh, maybe your dog's having trouble keeping up with you. Welcome to the show, Chris. Chris Manta from K10plus.com. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. And hopefully after today and this conversation, your dog will start taking vitamins.
Well, how do you get them to do that?
It's all in the way that we made our formula. It sidesteps the traditional way of taking a vitamin and brings in a whole new process to do it that eliminates all the hassle and stress. So K10 Plus is a new line of water-soluble vitamins and supplements for your dog.
What if they don't drink the water then? Or they will?
Dogs have to drink water. If they don't drink the water, they're going to dehydrate and not make it very long.
Does this mean I have to put vitamins in my toilet because my dogs know how to flip up the toilet seat and drink out of the toilet? I hope not.
You might just have to then.
How about you, Dwayne? Have you got that problem at your house? Oh, I can't hear Dwayne. I think we may have lost Dwayne. So I'm just going to keep talking with you, Chris. So what's special about your vitamins?
There's a lot of things that separate us from traditional vitamins. Like I just mentioned before, we eliminate the stress of having to either force a pill down your dog's throat or chase him around the house to try to give him the vitamin. People try hiding the vitamin pills in the food or pill pockets, which never works either because they either spit it out, eat around it, and then in turn hide the pill. So K10 eliminates the stress of that because our powdered formulas dissolve in the water, eliminating any hassle.
And there are those dogs who can kind of hide it under their tongue and spit it out later. Then you find their little stash of half-dissolved pills in the corner of the yard or something. There are some sneaky dogs out there.
They're very smart. They learn very quick. And if they know that they hide the pill and it can trick you, they'll do it.
So what's in your vitamins? What do dogs need? Do they need the same things we do or different?
They need some things, some common basic building blocks that all of us need, and they need some other little things, like, say, iron, for instance. You know, the human body needs a lot, whereas dogs don't need a lot at all. So our, you know, our vitamins and supplement formulas are specifically engineered and created, you know, keeping the dog's health in mind.
Well, they must be different. I mean, in some ways, you can see they're the same because they eat meat, veg, grains. But then in some ways, they've got to be so different because they can drink out of dirty puddles of water and all sorts of things that we would never do. And I guess with that high meat diet, they're not likely to get iron deficient like some of us who try to avoid red meat and things like that. So that makes sense. How do people get your product?
They can get our product by logging onto our website, which is www.k-10plus.com, k-10plus.com. And we're currently in select retail outlets in the East Coast, and come fall we'll be launching nationwide.
So I imagine that the vitamins an older dog or an athletic dog would need are kind of different. How do you deal with the differences?
Well, we have different formulas catered to a senior dog, for instance, because their needs are different. A more active athletic dog, their needs are typically the same. They'll in turn drink more water because they are more athletic and more active and, you know, perspirate more. But their vitamin requirements would be the same. So we do offer a senior care line that is dedicated for older dogs.
Now, I know Dwayne has more than one pet. He used to have two Cocker Spaniels and a cat. How would you stop, I'm sure Dwayne's wondering this one, how would you stop the dog or the cat from getting the wrong vitamins? Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter much, especially for the instance of the cat. It's perfectly safe for cats to drink. There is feeding directions on the back of every packet and every box to show you the correct amounts to put in with water. And cats naturally drink so much less water than dogs do that it doesn't pose a risk of getting an excessive amount of the nutrients in their system.
Okay. Well, I know, Dwayne, you're back. Have you got any questions for him about vitamins and pets?
Well, the situation that we have with our cat is we have the cat food out of the dog's reach. So the cat food is up on a bit of an elevated shelf, and it would be very easy to feed the cat these vitamins. I understand they're water soluble, and that's the main method of how they consume this. I missed this piece, Chris, when we had some technical problems here. So am I correct in assuming that these are water soluble vitamins that are in the form of water, like out of a drinking dish?
They're in the form of a powder, right, that goes into the water dish. So our box comes with 28 individual packets, pre-measured according to the vitamin or supplement. You tear open the packet, you pour the powder in, and then add the water, and it dissolves into the water.
Mm-hmm.
So then as the dog drinks the water throughout the day, they're absorbing all those vitamins and minerals.
So does it have any kind of a flavor? Like, does it have
there's
it appealing
no flavor
to, the animal?
To it because there's no flavor to it. We've done extensive research into this, and the ultimate finding was that a dog needs to know that what's in his water bowl is water.
Right.
They, if it tastes like bacon or smells like bacon to them, they get a little confused and sort of look at you.
I don't blame them. You know when you think you're going to drink a glass of milk, but instead it's orange juice and you just can't stand it, even though you like both? I totally get that. We only have 1 minute left, Dwayne and Chris, so maybe we'll just ask you to tell everybody once more how they can get these great vitamins.
So the best way to get them is directly on our website, which is www.k-10plus.com. That's k-10plus.com.
Right on. Okay, everybody. So if you've got an itchy, scratchy pet or a pet that needs a little pick-me-up, you might find your solution in vitamins, and this is the way to go. Get it right into their system in the water without battling them, stressing them out. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk with Deb and Dwayne on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love
you. You know that.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet, and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Pet Talk Radio, and I'm Deb Wolf, and you've heard me interview Kristen Smith before. Now, it doesn't hurt that she sends me great products to try, doggy and kitty products of all sorts, but we're having her back. I did not get the stuff in the mail, so this has nothing to do with me. This has something to do with her and some kind of big grant that's going down. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Kristen, well, this is Dwayne. You're going to have to bring me up to speed on this planetdog.com. Deborah obviously has talked with you before, so she knows pretty well what's going on. I'm new to this. It sounds like quite an interesting little title of a foundation. Tell me about
it. Well, it sure is. Planet Dog is a company. We're based in Portland, Maine, and we design and develop a whole range of products for dogs and dog lovers. We make a bunch of very durable dog toys, as well as leashes and collars and on-the-go travel gear. And all of that stuff is able for people to see at planetdog.com. One of the things that makes Planet Dog most interesting is that they contribute 2% of all of their sales to the Planet Dog Foundation, which then turns around and gives that money away to nonprofits all over the country.
I see a really big, long list of some of the organizations you've helped. And, I mean, it's just huge. Some of them include things we think of, you know, like therapy dogs and rescue search dogs. But some of these things are really unusual. Do you want to tell us about some of the winners?
Sure. We just recently gave away more than $71,000 in grants in our spring cycle to 16 different organizations. And as you said, we've given away to a lot of therapy dog programs that work with kids who are trying to learn how to read or who do visitation in hospitals and the kinds of things that you think of therapy dogs doing. But this time, for example, we're giving a grant to an organization that has a canine court advocates program where they have dogs that are trained to go into the courtroom and provide some additional emotional support for victims of domestic violence or sexual assault, children who have been abused, where actually going into a courtroom and having to testify can be one of the scariest things. And so they have these dogs that are now allowed to actually go into the courtroom and sit with the victim as they go through their testimony, and, you know, help make that incredibly emotional and traumatic process go a little bit more smoothly for them.
Boy, I've heard of companion dogs before, but that's really, really close, right up there in the old witness block.
Wow. Absolutely. I mean, it's a really specialized way to use dogs to help people in need, but one that we found really innovative and interesting. And obviously there's a big need for, you know, with lots of little kids, sometimes having to testify in court is just this horrible experience. And so they use the dogs both to help the kids while they're preparing for their testimony, calms the kids down, and then that tactile ability to be able to touch a dog that they know and they're familiar with when they're having to face a judge and, you know, all these sort of grown-ups that look really scary. It just helps these kids and also, you know, certainly people who have been victims of a traumatic assault as well.
Well, I know here in Delta, one of the suburbs of Vancouver, they have a dog like that for kids just when they're first, with their first contact. So when the police are first interviewing them, when they're first being rescued from some terrible situation, the dog's there. It helps so much.
Yeah. It helps so much. It's really amazing. So that's one really unique one. This time around, we've also certainly provided a lot of funding for different kinds of police dog programs, and this time we're doing a program that's accelerate detection dogs. It's called Fire Canines, and what they do is go in the aftermath of a fire and help the arson investigators figure out, yep, there was gasoline used over here, or, you know, some other kind of a chemical accelerant used over here. Sometimes, sometimes criminals have gotten a little craftier than the investigators and are one step ahead of the investigators, and they've been able to use different agents that make it harder to see with the naked eye where an accelerant might have been used. So now they've got dogs that are able to go in and actually they can smell where those accelerants were in a way that the investigators couldn't, which helps them cut back on arson-related crimes.
Yeah, we have to kind of – it's hard for us to get our heads around as humans. We're kind of the opposite of gifted when it comes to smelling and understanding our world. But dogs actually – cannot just smell minute traces of things. I think we all know that from a distance, even when they're concealed in things. But they also can smell the freshness. So the order, the direction. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be key to this. It totally makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's sort of, they could have a whole team of researchers in there and take, you know, 12 different samples and send them out to the lab and spend thousands and thousands of dollars doing all of this analysis. And what they're finding is a dog is able to go in there and provide the exact same information in about 5 minutes. And all the dog asks in return is to get to play with his ball that he loves so much. You know, they teach them all to do the alerts for these smells, and the reward that they get is play. It's not even food rewards that they're using, but the dogs just want to play. They have these very high drive dogs, and all they're doing is looking for a way to get to play with that ball for one more minute.
Mm-hmm. You know, Duane, this makes me think of the medical uses. Whenever I have to go for a test or anything, I always think, like, there should be a form where you get to choose, you know, test by X-ray, test by MRI, test by dog. I will pick dog.
Right.
Let the dog come skin me and tell them I'm okay so I don't have to go through these intrusive tests, you know? Because really, if they only had dogs in all the hospitals testing for cancer and things like that, I bet we'd all have to go through a lot less unpleasantness.
Absolutely. And I do think that they're making a little bit more headway in terms of trusting the results that dogs are giving and bringing more and more dogs into the testing realm. Certainly with some of the programs we funded where they have diabetic alert dogs and seizure alert dogs, where these dogs are partnered with an individual and they really are able to smell when a person has a drop in their blood sugar. The dog is able to detect it and alert the person. The dog knows before the person does, and that can be absolutely life-saving. It can keep a person from having an epileptic seizure or a diabetic going into a diabetic coma. They can put these dogs with little kids who really are really unable to to measure or tell when their blood sugar is changing, kids with diabetes, and the dog is then trained to leave the child's side and actually go find the parent so that the parent is aware that this is happening and help to prevent a seizure before it starts.
Well, we're going to have to...
huge need for these nonprofits who work with dogs in particular and on various capacities where they can help out people. You must get a lot of requests for support, for grants throughout the course of a year, I suppose. And what I have the information in front of me is that you've given just in the spring of 2013, 16 nonprofits nationwide to the tune of about $71,500. They're going to be very pleased with that.
We are. It's just such an honor to be able to do it. And that is really the tip of the iceberg in terms of the need, though. You know, we open up our grant program usually twice a year, and it's very competitive. Organizations have to be registered nonprofits, and they have to submit a very detailed and comprehensive application to our board of directors, and we review them very carefully, checking to make sure that the organization is mature enough to be able to use the money effectively and efficiently, that the project has been well thought through.
We have 1 minute left in this segment, Kristen, but we're going to come back with you to talk more. We want to know more about how you pick who gets the money and how you make sure the money's spent well. It looks like it is spent well. I mean, I can't, even dogs identifying endangered species, we have to talk about that. So we're with Kristen from Planet Dog, and I'm talking with Duane, and stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near, I love
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
Hello, you're back with Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm just looking through all these crazy things. Arson detection, dogs for wounded war veterans, seizure alert dogs, courtroom advocate dogs. Well, not that they're crazy. They're innovative. They're unbelievable. They're groundbreaking. And they're terrific. Now, dogs identifying endangered species. You guys support that, Kristen, at Planet Dog? How? How does that work?
We sure do. We one of the programs that we have funded is Canines for Conservation that go out and they train the dogs to identify both endangered plants and the scat of different endangered animal species, and they bring the dogs through the mountains. The program we fund is in Montana. And they go through the mountains, and the dogs are able to figure out where the species is living, and in that regard able to actually impact public policy to protect the habitat of endangered species, again, both for plants and for animals. It's phenomenal. And this program is also sending dogs to certain regions of Africa where they're helping to do the same thing to protect the habitats of certain kinds of endangered apes and ape species, and figuring out where they're living in the jungle as they move around. The dogs are able to track where their colonies are and help to protect them.
I have this vision right now popping into my head, Duane, of these cartoon dogs having a conversation. They're at the job search center, and one of them is saying, "You won't believe this job. You get to go overseas and smell poo." And the other one goes, "Oh, man, I'm applying for that. You know, animals we've never sniffed before. Right on. Good benefit package. Oh, yeah." Yeah, I can just imagine.
That's great. You know, what's really cool about that, actually, is that most of the dogs in that program and in so many of the programs that we fund, as I mentioned earlier, they want these high-energy, high-drive dogs. And these are dogs that sit in shelters, and nobody wants to bring them home as a family pet because they're really hyper and they're sort of so driven and so energetic, but they're the perfect dog for these different kinds of searches. And those are the dogs. So these programs are actually adopting dogs from shelters, saving them from being euthanized, giving them a long-term permanent home and the best job the dog could ever hope to have.
Well, speaking of searches, Kristen, the situation in Oklahoma, and I know you had mentioned that it's quite you have to go through quite a process in order to get a grant. But these people who had to deal with that tornado down there had no opportunity, of course, to start filling out for a grant. What about the emergency system? Do you have it in place that you can actually leapfrog a lot of the red tape and go right directly to the agencies and representatives that need some help with some search and rescue dogs?
Yeah, we absolutely do. We always maintain a fund where we can access, right away to help with an immediate emergency response. And certainly for the tornado in Oklahoma, we gave money right away to a program called the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation. And while they're based in California, they have trained search dog teams at the ready in strategic places all over the country. So they were in there the same day that the tornado hit, going through the rubble, looking for survivors, identifying survivors and helping get some of those people that were trapped out. So we were able to send a donation to them immediately the day after the tornado hit. We had money in their pocket, and they are able to use that money to help certainly cover some of the costs for this deployment and make sure that they're always prepared for the next one. We were able to do the same thing after the earthquake in Haiti and after the tsunami. We always want to be able to help the dogs that are helping the people whenever it happens.
You know, when you talked about those diabetic and seizure dogs, heart attack dogs, the dogs who know when something's wrong with your body and warn you or warn other people, I'm always amazed that there's the odd dog that shows up in the news that just learns, self-taught, just does this. And there was a schnauzer last year on Vancouver Island that did this for a little girl, woke up the parents when her sugar, right when she was actually going into a diabetic coma, and the parents got her to the hospital, all that. And then about a week later, the dog woke them up a little bit earlier, so it wasn't as big a problem. And the dog was just fine-tuning it, you know, what is trouble, what is okay. This little girl is very lucky to have that dog.
Yeah, and it is just amazing. They just have this intuitive ability to know, and they, you know, that they're so in tune to just the tiniest shift in the way a person smells, and I think they're able to read the cues of the people around of, oh, that smell is bad, that smell is worse, this is the bad smell, so try to do what we can to prevent the worst smell from happening. And certainly there are programs that do training where you're going to be able to get a really reliable response from a dog, and then you find these dogs that are just kind of the magical ones that just know. Somehow they just know.
Yeah, and it's... Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
sorry, Deborah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that. So it reminds me of years ago, I used to get lost a lot when dog walking. I would just get completely lost. And I could tell that my dogs knew where the car was. They just didn't know that I was lost and I didn't know. You know, like sometimes these things are so obvious, right? So I taught a couple of the dogs that were steady regulars to find my car when I told them. I never got lost anymore. They always knew where the car was. And I've recently decided I think I'm going to teach one of my dogs to find my cell phone. Find my cell phone, find my keys, right? Because I'm always losing these things, but I'm sure they know where they are. They just don't know what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of like
to
walk
right.
And
then you have to learn to trust what the dog does now.
Yeah.
The dogs just get a kick out of watching you run around panicking, looking for your yeah. keys and looking for your stuff. I don't. Well, you were talking, Kristen, about how the Planet Dog Foundation is funded, and it's basically through your company, Planet Dog, but you also do fun events, and I'm just looking at something on your website about the Bark in the Park, which sounds really cute. I love that, and it's coming up, in July, and that's going to be where,
July.
Down in your area, isn't it, Portland? No.
It's in Portland, Maine, yeah. We have a minor league baseball team that's affiliated with the Boston Red Sox here in Portland, and so every year we get to have one of the games, people can bring their dog, and we actually do a parade all the way around the warning track of the baseball field, led off by Slugger the Sea Dog, who is our mascot. And then people can go sit in a special bleacher section of the park with their dogs. And we have all sorts of extra special refreshments for the folks and for their dogs for the event, and it helps raise money for our grant program. So it's fun for everybody, and people love to come and help support the foundation as well.
Well, we only have about a minute and a half left right now, but I'd like to ask you to come back for the last segment of the show today, if you can stay with us. Kristen, I want to ask you about some of the toys. We've talked about all the serious stuff. Can we get to the toys? Can we get to the squeakies?
Absolutely.
And the things like that? Okay, Dwayne, we have stuff you wouldn't believe for dogs. Just stuff that's so much fun. So we'll be back to talk about that and maybe some news items. We got that IKEA monkey lady coming into court today in Toronto, and they actually had to move to a bigger courtroom. There were so many people who want to witness what happens with the monkey. Will it stay at the shelter? Will it go home with the IKEA monkey mom? I think Justin Bieber lost his monkey. So, yeah, we'll talk more about the news and the weird animals in the news. Only in Canada. Got a couple things to add on that one. Stay tuned, everybody, to Smart Animal Talk with Deb and Dwayne on All Paws Pet Talk.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that I really do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Hello, you're back with Doug Wolf and Dwayne Grand Boys on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And our guest from Planet Dog is going to tell us about some of her toys, because she always brings toys. Squeak, 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 squeak. That must be what you sound like when you enter a room. Squeak, squeak.
I want a squeaky gingerbread buddy, right.
That's yeah, that's
they are my favorites. We
Thank
actually have some
much.
New squeaky toys that are coming out this summer that we're excited about, called My Buddy and My Ball and My Bone. And they're going to be made out of a more durable canvas, a cotton canvas with a recycled fill, with some really fun kind of beachy colors and, of course, that double-barreled squeak. So it squeaks on the way in and it squeaks on the way out.
Gotta have that squeaky, squeaky. Okay. What else have you got lately that's a little bit different? I remember your Christmas ornament bulbs that look like they look like Christmas ornament lights, but they were chew toys, indestructible
that's
sort
right.
of art chew toys. And every time I saw a photo of a dog chewing one, it made me cringe because I thought it was eating glass because it just looked so real. But what have you got going on now?
Well, those bulbs, as well as the majority of our toys, are made from our Orbituff material, which is it's a patented formula that we worked on for years with a chemist to get just right. That's really doggy durable, but also 100% non-toxic and recyclable. And we take that material and we mold it into all sorts of different shapes and sizes for different size dogs and different kinds of chewer dogs. So of course we have those holiday bulbs that you were talking about, and our signature Orbi ball, which is the one that looks like the planet, looks like the Earth, and it has all the continents on it that a lot of people have seen.
What about the glow
ones?
I love the glow ones, glow in the dark ones, because you don't lose them at night in the yard.
I know. Or when they roll under the couch. You can always see them when they're under the couch or under the bed or out in the backyard or under the stairs. They're great for dogs who like to make sure it always rolls under something. I love the glow in the dark ones.
So, Kristen, what does it mean when it says 5 out of 5 chompers? Is that sort of like a rating? Same with the Orbi.
It is. It's a durability rating.
Okay. So 3 out of 5 chompers is not as good as the 5 out of 5, is what you're telling me.
Which is, you know, the 3 out of 5 chompers are for dogs who aren't really super destructive. Some dogs really love that because it has a little bit more give to it, kind of like a chewing gum for dogs. And for some dogs, that's all they want to do is just kind of, you know, squeeze and release, squeeze and release, squeeze and release. So for those dogs, the 3 out of 5 chompers is the perfect toy. And for other dogs, that means, I can tear this thing apart in 4 seconds flat. So the 5 out of 5 is a better choice for them.
Well, I know what I'm going to have
for my
squeaky
Kristen I'm picturing Kristen as a Pilates instructor now. Squeeze and release, squeeze and release. You do great. You do great.
And my dog does that. She'll do it all day long. And it really, she sounds like she's chewing gum. She loves the sort of sound that it makes when it connects and then releases and connects and releases, and she'll do it forever if you'd let her.
Well, you have to keep in mind when you're looking at your dog that the big muscle that they use all the time, they don't grab things with their hands. They're using their mouth a lot. And when dogs have tension, it's usually right around their mouth on the sides of the jaw below the ear. That's where they will get problems and tension, and dogs who bite need all kinds of pressure points hit there. But this kind of chewing is essential for dogs. So when you think about, yeah, would my Yorkshire Terrier need the same kind of muscle workout as my Rottweiler Akita? No. No, he would not. It's like, you know, I don't lift the same weights as a 300-pound guy when I go to the gym either, right? It makes sense.
Right. And we also, you know, lots of studies have shown that in addition to the chewing and the fetching, that brain stimulation and mental activity are just incredibly essential for dogs, too. They have to exercise their brain muscle, and that can tire them out just as much as a long run in the woods. So we do have a couple of interactive toys now. We have our Maisie, which is a puzzle toy. It has a sort of a soft outer shell and then a hard maze on the inside, and you can stuff treats in there, and the dog has to work it around the room in order to get the treats to come out of the hole. And it keeps them super busy, and it tires out their little brains, and is a nice way to have an interactive playtime with your dog.
Is that what these little things with a treat spot is on the little bulbs? Is that what you talk about when you say treat spot?
Is that's that right. Something? You know, a lot of our Orbitough toys you can stuff with treats, and the dog has to work to get them out. The Maisie we just worked on to make that a little bit more challenging of a puzzle than our just regular toys.
Is an Orbitough mint really mint flavored?
It is mint scented. It's not really mint flavored, but we do add some essential peppermint oil in there, which helps the dog to be able to find it. It smells nicer for you, and it smells nicer for them.
Well, I'll have one of those after I have my squeaky gingerbread buddy then.
That's right.
You can play find and fetch with a lot of dogs in a situation where maybe you can't let them run, maybe they've just had surgery, maybe they're old, maybe you're in a confined area. You can play this game where you hide the thing and they have to find it. And a peppermint-scented toy is going to be way easier than a regular one. So that works.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you find the cats are stealing these mint-scented things. I bet they are.
I don't know.
Well, some of our smaller toys people love to use for cats as well because they bounce in such an unpredictable way. The different ridges on some of them make them really fun to bounce and wiggle, and cats love them.
Well, today in the news in Canada, only in Canada, a train, commuter train, high-speed commuter train running from suburbs to the third largest city in Canada was stopped by, can you guess, what stopped the train today?
I don't know.
What's
I didn't
a
read
bear?
The story. Was it a dog?
What's your guess, Christian? What was it?
A bear.
You got it. A bear stopped the train today. So all those commuters who are so upset, I feel bad for the bear, too. Train will
be fine.
Glad
he made him stop. Glad they stopped for him.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of animals in the news. There's this bizarre YouTube clip that's going around of a billy goat attacking people in Brazil this morning. It's pretty wild. He attacks a motorbike and knocks people flying, attacks a woman, knocks her down. I've had run-ins with billy goats. There's no fooling around. They stand on two legs and they charge you. So if you want to see something cool, check out the billy goat attacks video. Well, Kristen, we only have a couple minutes left. Dwayne, have you got anything you want to say before we go?
Well, I'm a motorcycle rider, and yeah, I would kind of look at a billy goat if he started rearing up and looking at me. That would be a little scary. These products that you're talking about, Deborah, because you have mentioned them before, I really get a kick out of them. And I can't imagine a dog who wouldn't like one of these.
Oh, yeah, the Planet Dog toys, glow-in-the-dark balls and balls that smell like mint and indestructible toys with treats in them. Yeah, they're all in for this.
There the you know, carry an Orbi. You can carry one of them in your pocket, and if you run into a billy goat, throw one to them because they're really hard to destroy, so even a billy goat would have a hard time getting into it.
Well, when the box comes, I know because I bring the mail in, and it's like everybody's staring. All the dogs are staring at the box, staring at me, staring at the box, staring at me. Okay, is this from Planet Dog, maybe? Yes, it is. Okay, everybody.
Hopefully they smell it coming.
Yes. Well, our show has ended. I'm Deb Wolf. That's it for me. Do you want to say goodbye, Dwayne?
Kristen, it's been really nice talking to you, and of course we get talking about the toys. We ended up on kind of a playful note, I suppose, but it certainly is very good work that your organization is doing with the grants, and I'm sure everybody who receives those grants are just ecstatic because of your way of putting back into the community that supports you so very well.
So everybody, well, if you want to buy
we love our products.
If you want to buy things,
it allows us to do all the rest.
Yeah, go to Planet Dog. If you want to buy things for your dog and feel good about it and do some extra good in the world, go to Planet Dog, Planet Dog Foundation, and planetdog.com. All right, everybody, we'll talk to you next week. And I might just tell you some things about hummingbirds you don't know, like the twin factor. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back next week. Be good to your animals.
And can you find your near?